Well, take your Bible and turn to the book of Numbers again. Numbers chapter 14. And if you have an old Scofield, it starts at about 184 and goes on to 185. But let me read those first two verses there in Numbers chapter 14. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would to God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God had, or God we had died in the wilderness. Father in heaven, how we thank thee for this opportunity as we gather together. We do pray for those who have been mentioned in prayer requests. We pray that you'll meet those needs. Be with us as we look into thy word, speak to our heart, for we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. You know, as we look at this, the failure at Kadesh Barnea in Numbers 14, 1 to 45. In verse 1 to 10, unbelief and rebellion of the people. In verses 11 through 38, God's judgment on their rebellion. In verses 39 to 40, presumption of the people. You know, as you think of this chapter, I'm reminded, and you might think I'm crazy by saying this, when I was a teenager, there was a song. And it had nothing to do with religion at all. But the title of the song was Timing. Now, of course, it had nothing to do with what I'm going to talk about here. But it draws the attention as God, God's timing is important. Now, that song wasn't talking. It's talking about man and the timing and just falsely things will happen. But, you know, being in God's timing is all important. You know we want to be in the will of God. But just as clear as being in the will of God, you need to be in his timing of God. But we see here the importance of all of this. At the beginning, we see their unbelief led to rebellion. And they are lagging behind the will of God. In the last past, in the last part of this chapter, we see their presumption and rushing in ahead of God. Both demonstrate a lack of faith and trust in the Lord and walking in the flesh. Being fully in the will of the Lord includes being in step with him, his timing. We can never do anything by faith that contradicts the word, the will, and the timing of God. Faith leads to obedience, while our unbelief leads to rebellion. Now let's look at this. We read those first two verses. Be careful what you wish for what these folks are wishing for is exactly what's going to happen. But as they listen to this report of the 12 spies, they will listen to the majority and not the minority. You know, it doesn't always mean what the majority says is right. A lot of times the majority can be wrong, and this is one of those situations. They're wishing for death in the wilderness. And, of course, if you know the story, and I know most of us do, that they're going to get that. Instead of leaning and learning from God's past deliverance and having faith in him to keep his word, they doubt, which is leading them to rebellion and the difference of walking in the spirit and walking in the flesh. You know, it's all important. You know, a lot of people, they live their Christian life just walking in the flesh. You know, I'm going to serve the Lord, and it's just all in the flesh. Friend, that's why God gave us the Spirit of God, too, and the Word of God. And, of course, to know his timing is all important. Notice verse 3. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey, were it not better for us to return to Egypt? Now, notice verse 4. And they said one to another, let us make a captain, and let us return to Egypt. Now, that sounds like a bright idea. Now, how smart would that be? God has devastated the Egypt. He's destroyed their army in the Red Sea. He's taken their firstborn. And what do you think that they would do, the Egyptians would do, if they see them coming back, wanting to come back to Egypt? They would die in Egypt. What kind of a reception you know they'd get? But yet they would rather trust Egypt than the Lord, who has proven over and over in these months that he will keep his word. And he's promised them that land. He's promised to give it to them if they step out. Look at verse 5 and 6. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their face before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. Now here's four of this whole congregation, probably 2 million people, maybe even more than that by now, but four who's standing for the Lord while the rest of them are all standing against what God is saying. You know, I've mentioned this many times, and of course you probably know it by heart, Philippians 2:13. It is God who worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now God is working in us his will through the word of God, also through the spirit of God that's within you, and also sometimes through the open door. You know, the open door, well, God had to open it. But let me say this as a warning. The Holy Spirit of God will never lead you contrary to the will of God. If you think, oh man, God had to open this thing up for me. But, you know, if it's contrary to Scripture, that's not the Spirit of God leading you. Or if you see that open door, oh, God had to open this up, but it was contrary to Scripture. That's not God leading you. But when you know the will of God, notice it says to know his will, and then it says to do. When we step out and begin to step out to serve him, to follow him and his will, he's there to empower us and to help us as we step out, just as he's promised these people. If they will take the land and go in, he will give it to them. That doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but he's there with them. But, of course, they're refusing to step out. Notice verses 7 through 9. And they spake unto the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land, speaking of the promised land, if the Lord delight in us, when he will bring us into the land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Now, God will give them the land. He's already promised that. And it's very, very clear that it is a land flowing with milk and honey. But don't rebel. Don't fear. The Lord is with you. Step out. You know, it kind of goes along with that fear face syndrome we often mention. You know, when fear is in control of our life, faith disappears, doesn't it? But when faith is in our life, fear will disappear. And how we need to take God's word and to take it by faith and to trust it. Notice verse 10. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. Now they were ready to stone those four. They were ready to stone the only ones who were standing between them and the Lord. How Satan can blind the eyes, even of believers at times. We know in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 10, 4:4, it speaks of the fact how Satan has the minds of the lost blinded. You know, I think sometimes, and I think some of these folks were probably believers, Old Testament saints, but they were not very strong in their faith. Really, they're coming against the leaders, but really, they're coming against God is what they're doing. But it has gone far enough, and God appears to intervene. He appears at the tabernacle. Now notice, secondly, God's judgment on their rebellion. Look at verse 11. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? Now God's intervening. God will not allow the mob to endanger his servants. We see Satan and his host surely involved with the people and trying to blind them to the truth. And of course, as we mentioned, 2 Corinthians 4:3, we know 2 Corinthians 4:3, if our gospel be hid, it is hid from them that are lost. But we know also in verse 4 how Satan has the lost blinded. And, you know, sometimes I think here, I think some of these are believers and they're blinded to the truth. The sign, many signs that God has shown these people that he is with them. He's in control and he's able to take care of the situation. Just think back what all they've been through. And Egypt was one of the most powerful countries at that time. And of course, God turned it around completely and brought them out. How often in the heat of attack from the enemy we forget how the Lord has delivered us in the past. Now notice there in chapter 14 and verse 12, I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a great nation and a mightier than they. Now here we see the Lord speaking. He's speaking to Moses here, that he'll take Moses. But you know, this happened before. Remember, there was an incident before that God got really tired with the people, the way they were rebelling. And God was saying, well, I'll just get rid of the people and I'll take you and make a group of people and a new nation from you. But notice, Moses already has done that before. In Exodus 32, he spoke of that. But notice, and bear with me, I'm going to read several verses here, but verses 13 through 19. And Moses said unto the Lord, then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou bringest up this people in thy might from among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of the land, for they have heard that the Lord art among this people, and that the Lord art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them daytime in a pillar of cloud, and at night a pillar by fire. Now if any shall kill all the people as one man, then the nation which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he has slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, Lord, let the power of my Lord be great according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and great in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgressions, and by no means clearing the guilt, visiting the iniquity upon the fathers, upon the children, up to the third and the fourth generation. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquities of this people, according unto the greatness of the mercy, as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt, even unto now. Now Moses is really standing against the Lord once again. You know, you see the difference. You see the difference right here from a minister who loves the people and loves God from a dictator. There's a lot of difference, and I know there are some dictators in the ministry today too. But Moses is not interested in his own personal gain, but he's showing the love of God that God has showed to him. And most honor, and the honor will all go to the Lord here, is what Moses is saying. His covenant with the people and his promise to the patriarchs of the past, their fathers. He's made that promise that he's going to give them this nation. Moses appeals to the long-suffering, the great mercy and the forgiveness of God. And the last part of verse 18, the children often suffer the consequence of the parents' sin, but not charged with the sin itself, but the disease that it would pass down as the parents had sinned come to them, but not the sin that people had sinned, the older generation. Verse 19, forgive them as you have in the past. You know, aren't you thankful for the cleansing power of the blood of Christ? You know, when he died for our sins, he paid all our sins. Now, there's time that sin comes in our life, and as a Christian, you don't lose your salvation, but you lose that close fellowship. And as we confess it, we renew that close fellowship, but you never lose your salvation here. Now, notice verse 20 and 21. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Now he's pardoned them, But of course, there's consequences that they're going to face because of that. Notice, and bear with me, I got another group of scripture here, verse 22 through 29. Because all these men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times. Notice, we didn't see all of those, but there's been 10 times. We've seen some of those times. There's been 10 times that Israel, these people, have not hearkened unto the voice of the Lord here. 10 times. Now notice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Tomorrow turn ye and get ye into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And the Lord spake unto Moses and said unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmureth against me? I have heard the murmuring of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me, saying unto me, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, who will I do in my ears, so will I do you. Your carcass shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to the whole number from 20 years and upward, which murmured against me. Now, as you read that, God pronounces his judgment. The older generation from 20 years and up will not go into the land, but they'll be wandering in the wilderness until they die. He speaks of 10 times that, really starting from Egypt, 10 times they've rebelled against him. And verse 25, he tells them, tomorrow, turn back, go into the wilderness. Knowing the will of God is all important, but knowing his timing is too. They've missed their point. God had an open door, but they would not step out. Now in verse 28, they will get their wish of verse 2 and 3, for they will die in the wilderness. Now some have supposed the age of 20 as being the age of accountability. And of course also, as you go back in Deuteronomy, there's a lot of times that you can go back to other scripture in Deuteronomy. It brings out the fact of speaking of the same thing. And in Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 39, we see the same thing. Moreover, your little ones, which ye shall say, be prey, and your children, which in that day hath no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go in thither, and unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it. You know, many have used that, and of course we often think, you know, when a child, I don't know if it's 20, I think probably a difference with a child, you know, but when they know the difference between good and evil, you know, you have to give an account and to come to Christ and trust him. But you know, as you see this, now notice verse 30 and 31, doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, so, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye said shall be prey, them shall I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. Now, as you think of this, only Joshua and Caleb of the older generation will go in. Now, notice, of the older generation are just these two men. But notice also verse 24. Caleb had a different spirit and followed the Lord fully. You know, both of these men were both obeyed the Lord without reservation. And notice, neither Moses nor Aaron is mentioned, because you know Aaron has already messed up several times. And remember how he made the calf, the golden calf. But also Moses, he won't go into the promised land. You remember earlier when they didn't have water and when the Lord said, strike a rock. And of course, water came out of the rock. Now, there will be a second time that that happens. And the Lord tells Moses, don't strike the rock, but speak to the rock. And you know, we went back through that when we addressed that earlier, that really that was a picture of Christ. He would only be stricken once. Once and for all, he paid the sin debt. But when Moses got angry at the people, and remember, and we'll see that later, but how he hit the rock because he was mad at the people, that very reason that Moses would not go in because he disobeyed God there too. Now, of course, their little ones, 20 and under, would go in. Now, notice verses 32 through 38, and I apologize, but this is the only way we can kind of get this if I read these verses. But as for you, your carcass, they shall fall in the wilderness, and your children, those under 20 years old, shall wander, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredom until your carcass be wasted in the wilderness. Now, until all the older generation dies, but the younger ones will live on. After the number of the days in which you search the land, even 40, each day a year shall be bear your iniquity, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said I will surely do it unto all the evil congregation that hath gathered together against me in this wilderness, and they shall be consumed, and there they shall die. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation murmur against him by bringing up a slander unto the land, even those men that did bring up the evil report unto the land died by a plague of the Lord. And of course, God gave a plague, and those 10 men, they died. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still. Now, as you read those and you think of that, 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, God is giving them 1 year for each day that they were in checking out the land. And God promised that he will keep his word. All the older generation except for Joshua and Caleb will perish. And verses 36 through 37, all the 10 spies who brought back that evil report, they died by a plague. Also, all excluded from the land were not eternally lost. You know, I think, and let me try to bear this out, I'm sure there's some that disagree with me, that the fact is, some of those that died were probably true saints of God, Old Testament saints. You know, just as Abraham in Genesis 15:6, Abraham believed God and it was counted for righteousness for him. I have the feeling that really there were some of those people that were really believers, but they failed to follow the Lord. You know, in the book of 1 John, chapter 5 and verse 16, there's a sin unto death. And that sin unto death, if you look at the context, he's not talking to the lost. He's talking to believers. I think there are times that God will allow a Christian just to go so far, continually sinning and sinning and sinning. And if you read 1 John 5:16, you'll see that there's a sin unto death, that God will take one home prematurely. Now, he doesn't lose his salvation. That's secure. But, you know, I'd sure hate to go to God in that way, wouldn't you? To go because you just wouldn't straighten it up. Canaan, also, let me say this. We have a lot of songs that Canaan, really, they look at it as if it's going to heaven. But, you know, really, Canaan is not heaven. They're going to have to fight for the city and for the nations as they take that nation and those nations. It is not a picture of heaven, but it's a picture of a believer as you go on in your faith. You know, as they had the struggle trying to take the land from those people and all, as we'll see as it goes on. It's really a struggle, just like you and I have a struggle in this life as a Christian. But I know many songs that we know that we have, it just looks like that's heaven, but really it's not. Nothing wrong, I guess, from the songs they're trying to write to the Lord, but that's not the same thing it's speaking of. And how we today rob ourselves from the blessings of God by unbelief and failing to step out in God's timing. Now notice next, the third point. We see the presumption of the people. Verse 39 and 40. And Moses told these sayings unto all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. And they rose up early in the morning and gat them up into the top of the mountain, saying, Lo, we be here, and will go up unto the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. Now here they're just going blindly. The people here, as they mourn, as Moses shared with them the message, God is with the people, but surely God is with the people. It surely brings them back to reality, though. Their unbelief had led them in fear to rebel against the Lord and his timing. They had failed to move out in God's timing, in God's will, in God's power. They're walking in the flesh right now as they're going to go in and try to take it. And verse 25, God's will for them is in the morning to get back into the wilderness. You've got 40 years to go through. But let me ask you, have you ever had a moment in your life that you may have, God may be leading you maybe to do something, maybe to witness to someone, you know, someone that's lost, and the opportunity's there and the open door is there and you just kind of let it pass? Or, you know, maybe God's been trying to speak to you about serving the Lord in some capacity, maybe to teach a Sunday school class, or maybe even calling you to the ministry or something to that extent. Yet we hold back from that. Now, let me ask you that, and the opportunity was lost. Timing is so important, as well as the will of God. The timing of God is so important. Now, oftentimes, I guess I might say that maybe in our life, maybe God's tried to call you into the ministry or call you to do something for him, maybe to teach his class or something to that extent, and you just kind of let it go. There may be another opportunity in your life that God allow you, but that's not guaranteed either. God is in control. God is omniscient. That means he's all-knowing. He's omnipotent. That means he's all-powerful. And he's also omnipresent. He's everywhere. And, of course, he knows all that's taking back and all that's going on. And his will and his promise will be fulfilled. Nothing will hinder that. They were supposed to move back to the wilderness, but now they're presuming on the Lord. They're saying, well, we just better go get it, do it. But, you know, they've missed their time. They missed God's time. Notice verse 41 to 45. And Moses said, wherefore, now do you transgress the commandment of the Lord, but it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemy. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and ye shall fall by the sword, because ye are turned away from the Lord. Therefore the Lord will not be with you. But they presumed to go up unto the hilltop. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not with them. Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites dwelt in that hill, and smote them, and discomfort them, even to Harmoth. You can also see more on that in Deuteronomy 1, verse 41 to 46. I'm not going to turn, but you can write that and look at that later. But, you know, as you look at this, they don't go up against them in God's timing. And Moses also reminds us of the events back in Deuteronomy, as I just mentioned, in chapter 1. You are sinning before the Lord, disobeying his command to move out. God will not go with you at this point because they're out of the will of God. If they would have done it a day before, they would be there taking the victory. But as we move out for the Lord, we need to know His word, His will, and be very sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God and God's timing. D.L. Moody once said, "Real true faith is a man's weakness leaning on God's strength." You know, that's when we're weak. That's when we're strong. And you know, as you study Paul's epistles, you see that over and over. I often quote, and of course this verse, just as we did earlier, "For if God be with, for it is God which worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure." As God is working his will in our life, and as I mentioned, through the word of God especially, through the Spirit of God that's within us, and also sometimes that open door. But that open door and the will of God, the word, if it's contrary to the word of God, that's not God leading you. He'll never lead you contrary to the word of God. But as we step out, he's there to empower us and to help us to accomplish that task as he goes with us. These people learn that the timing, being in his timing, is all important too. But you know, as we think of this, do you know the will of God? Are we in the word of God, learning and applying it to our life? Are we yielded to the Spirit of God, allowing him to empower us and to step out and follow him? But let us remember from this, faith leads to obedience while unbelief leads to rebellion. And let us also realize the majority report is not always the right. You know, that's right what we see here. We had 10 of them. They agreed. Well, the land's just like God said. It's a land of milk and honey. But the people they're strong. They're big. And what they did, it's just like, remember Peter on the water. Peter and the Lord are the only two that I know walked on the water without a motorboat pulling them. And, of course, when Peter began to notice the effect of the wind and the waves, he began to take his eyes off the Lord and he began to sink. And, of course, remember how the Lord saved him. But, you know, as you think of this too, you think that really oftentimes that, you know, you'll hear the majority talking and, you know, you'll listen to them, but always go to the Word of God. The promised land is not a picture of heaven either, as I mentioned too. It's really a picture of the Christian as we step out in a Christian life. I think that we also see the timing of God and His will. They're all important. God is in control and He will forgive and often use us. You know, maybe sometimes that God's tried to call you into the ministry, called you to something that He wanted you to do. Oftentimes God will allow you a second chance. Remember these folks, they had 10 chances that they rebelled against the Lord in different times. The promised land will be given to the younger generation, all of those under 20 years old when all of this took place, except for Joshua and Caleb. But what a message of faith that they had in trusting God and standing up for Him. You know, as you think of that, and you think of those two men, and of course you also, Moses and Aaron too, stood up for the Lord. But here you see 10 people, and you see Joshua and Caleb. They were given the true thing. Now they all gave the true study about the land itself, but the very fact that really they didn't give the whole truth about and taking to the people that God will take us through it. And of course, there's where the problem was. Caleb and Joshua knew that God would deliver them. You know, if that was us, would we have faith to step out and trust the Lord? Or would we be kind of going along with the rest of the people? But you know, the ones that went along with them in that older generation, they too were robbed of that. They didn't get to go into the promised land. Let's pray. Father in heaven, how we thank thee for this opportunity. We pray that you'll be with us. We pray, Lord, as we close, that you might speak to our hearts. Father, we do thank and the importance, not only the importance of knowing your will, but knowing the timing of your will and knowing when to step out. Not to be ahead or behind, but be right in place. You know, as we close, though, I always like to bring the gospel. In Romans 3:23 and Romans 3:10, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. None of us will ever stand before the Lord and say, I'm good enough. We're all sinners. We're lost. You can't work your way to heaven. There's nothing we have to offer. But it's when you come to John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Has there been that point in your life that you came to that point knowing, Lord, there's nothing I can do. I'm just an old sinner. But when you come to the Lord and put your trust in him and only him and what he did on the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection, his payment in full, he'll save you and change your life. Or maybe speaking to maybe some of us as Christians, maybe he's been speaking to you about something that you need to do. I'm going to just close, and just for a moment, before we close in prayer, if God's dealing with someone, if I can pray with them and help them, I'd love to do that, or see me after the service, and then we'll close in prayer.